Romans chapter 3, beginning at verse 9, as we continue our series through this book together, we'll be reading through verse 21. Well, through verse 26. Paul writing says, "What shall we conclude then? Are we any better? Not at all. For we have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There was no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away and have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves and their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips and their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood and ruin and misery mark their ways. And the way of peace they do not know, for there is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. But now, a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus." Here ends the reading of God's word. His blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray together? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its truth. We thank you that you are alive. And Lord, we come before you this morning, gathering before your presence in the risen Lord, asking that you would again speak to our heart, that we would have an encounter with you, our risen Lord, today. That we would see you in all of your glory, that you would hear you, Lord, as you speak to us and draw us close to you. Open our hearts, Lord, to receive from you. Open our eyes to see you. Take away the distractions from our heart and mind or anything, Lord, that would keep us from focusing in on you this morning. That we leave this place, that we will know that we have been in your presence and that our lives have been changed because we have seen you once again. To you and you alone be the glory and praise through Christ in whom we pray. Amen. We have been working through this book of Romans together, where we've been learning what it means to be right in a world that has gone so wrong. We know that our world is heading in the wrong direction. And the theme of this book is how we can have that righteousness of God in our life and how we can have that right relationship with him. Paul is coming to the conclusion of this first main section of the book. In this section where he has been making his case that the righteousness of God is needed because all mankind stands under the wrath of God. That all mankind falls short of the mark, is missing the mark of the glory of God, and is in need of hope and the promise. Today he comes to the conclusion, after already making the point that that all mankind, the religious crowd, none of us, no matter what our background or where we are, fall short and we miss the mark and we need a way home. We need a way to be restored, to be made right. Which brings us to today, Easter Day. A day when everything culminates. A day that 3 days changed everything. From darkness to light. From death to life. From despair to hope. From defeat to victory. And today we end this section and we begin to move into the next section of the book, where Paul tells us the good news, how we can be made right with him. God provided a way, a wonderful way. And that is what we celebrate this morning. 3 days changed everything. And let's look at the Word of God together as we discover on this Easter Sunday and celebrate how the good news that Christ has given us. First thing we discover together is that we all are held captive under the sway and power of sin. Paul reminds us of that as he brings this section to a close. He's making his closing arguments. He's kind of like in the courtroom, standing as a lawyer, presenting the facts against us. And the judge, the Lord, is on the throne. And he's laying out all the charges, and he's bringing in his closing statements as any lawyer would. And Paul is a good preacher, using the Word of God. If you look at verses 10 through 18, in my Bible, they're all indented. Is anybody like that in yours? Okay. That means those are quotes from the Old Testament, that scripture. As any biblical preacher would do, Paul is bringing the Word of God in to back up what he's been saying all along. And as he brings this closing point that all of us are held captive under the sway of sin, he reminds us what sin has and done to us, and why we need hope, why we need a Savior, why we need to be made right, and why our world around us has gone wrong. What has happened? God's plan and purpose was in the beginning that we all would live in that relationship with Him, that we'd enjoy Him forever. But sin came into the garden and it destroyed. And since then, we've been held captive under its power. And it destroys our relationships. Notice what he says here. He says, what can we conclude? Are we any better? We've already made the case and the charge that Jew and Gentile alike, all of us, are all under sin. God said earlier, Paul said earlier, God's no respecter of persons. We all come into the same place. And then he uses the scripture to show how it destroys our relationships. He said, there is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All who have turned away and together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Because, see, sin destroys our relationship first with God, and that it breaks that and separates us. And even within our lives as believers, it hurts our intimacy. Our relationship with Him is not where it needs to be. But through sin, that relationship separation was there. And that was why a way had to be provided. Verses 10 to 12, if you want to write these verses down, Paul was quoting Psalm 14, 1 to 3, Psalm 53, 1 to 3, and Ecclesiastes 7, 20. You can go this week and look them up on your own. And he is quoting those verses to back up the point of how sin has affected our relationship with God. That none of us can make the standard, saying sin makes us miss the mark. It's like that word for sin is hamartia. It means to miss the mark. And it's like shooting at the target, and every single time we try to shoot at the target, our arrow falls way short. Or Rod, you're an expert marksman. And when Rod took me shooting one time, he took me down, and he told me how to do it, and I got it right on that target. And he said, man, you're all dead eye. I was able to hit that target, but in our sin, every time we shoot, we fall way short. Our efforts miss the mark. Bob, whenever you're shooting for that bear, you got it. But we can miss the mark at times. And our relationship with God. It also hurts our relationship with others. Notice as he says in verses 13 through 18, he says, their throats are open grave, the poisons of vipers on their lips, the mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, their sweet feet are swift to shed blood, ruin and misery mark their ways, the way of peace they do not know. All those verses talk about how sin affects our relationship with others. And we look around us and we see, why is the world in such a mess it's in? And there's so much brokenness and there's so much hurting, and God didn't design it to be that way. It's the brokenness of sin that has done that came into the garden. And all of us or under the sway of sin. That's part of the bad news, but we're going to get to the good news in a moment as we celebrate this Easter. But it destroys our relationships. Sin also leads to disastrous consequences. Verses 16 to 18, he says, ruin and misery mark their ways, and the way of peace they do not know, and there is no fear of God between their eyes. Verses 15 through 17 is Isaiah 59, verses 7 to 8. Verse 16 is Psalm 36, verse 1. But again, those verses, he's saying the consequences that come. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God, they were separated from him. The consequence brought death, brought sickness, suffering, all that into the world. And the sin in our life as well brings disastrous consequences. Sometimes the Lord forgives, but they remain. But it also leaves us defenseless. Paul says in verse 19, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world accountable to God, that no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law or by what we do, by our own effort, by what our own try of righteousness, which falls way, way short. It leaves us defenseless with nothing we can say because God is right. And as Paul was making the closing statements and laying it before us, I imagine those who received the letter of Romans, the same as us, say, there's nothing I can say. And before the holiness of God, before him, there is nothing we can say. We fall on our face just as Isaiah, who had that vision when the Lord revealed himself to him. And he saw him in all his holiness, and his train filled the temple. And he fell on his face and he said, woe is me. I am condemned. I fall way short. But the good news was God said, he took the tongs from off the altar and said, this has touched you. Your sin has been atoned for. We all are under the sway of sin. That's the bad news. But today is Easter. And today we celebrate something happened because 3 days changed everything. The consequences of Jesus, our sin, put Jesus on the cross. He bore that for us. And it led his death and his separation from the Father for that moment. But notice verse 21. That's where things change. Paul makes the transition from this first section saying, we need righteousness, now beginning to show how we can receive it and be made right. And he says, but now a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known. That three-letter word, but, changes everything. Praise God. It's a small word, but it has powerful meaning. In this case, what was in the past, in the sin that dominated us, no longer has to be. The fact that we fell short of his righteousness and in need of it, there is now a way that we can be restored to God. Aren't you thankful? 3 days changed everything. That but, it's a small word, but it has great power. Earth's saddest day and the gladdest day were just 3 days apart. We all were held captive under the sway and power of sin, but the empty tomb changes everything. Praise God. The fact that he is alive, has conquered death in the grave, changes your life and mine and gives us hope and a way that righteousness can be received, that we can be restored back to him. That's the good news. That's the gospel. Paul said, I declare to you what I've received, that Jesus Christ died for our sin according to the scripture, that he was buried, and then what? He rose again. That's the good news. That Jesus died, he was buried, he rose again for us. The empty tomb changes it all. in that it assures us of life. Paul said in verse 21 to 22, but now this righteousness of God, it's apart from the law. It's not by what we do. It's not by our own effort. It's not by our religious works, which we saw, our church attendance and all that, which we saw in the past couple weeks does not help us. But it's this righteousness of God comes through faith alone, through all who believe in Jesus. Jesus, who died, buried, and rose again, and it assures us of life that because Jesus lives, we will live too. In 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 3, Peter writes, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are being shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." In Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, Jesus said, "I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys to death and the grave." And in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, Paul says, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For in Adam all die, but in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own turn, Christ the first fruits, and then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come and he will hand over the kingdom of God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion and authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Where, O death, is your sting? Where, O death, is your the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is..." Thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because the grave is empty, we know that we will live. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life, and all who believe in me, even though they perish, yet shall they live." When we lay our loved ones in the grave, when we say goodbye here, we know that we will be together again because our Lord is alive. And that is our hope. That righteousness, that way he's provided for us, it assures us, it guarantees us of eternal life with him. It also removes the penalty of sin. That's the good news that Paul just made the first three chapters, making the case that all of us have this sway and power of sin over us. But the good news is the resurrection of Christ, the fact that Jesus is alive, he died for us and rose again, removes the sting and the power of death from us. Paul was writing to the church at Corinthian church, in verse chapter 15, he was writing about the resurrection, and some of them were denying that it happened, and they couldn't believe, the Greeks couldn't believe, and then believe in a bodily resurrection. They didn't think that was possible. And Paul was writing chapter 15 to explain to them how the reality of Jesus and he rose again bodily is true. And he says in verse 17 of that chapter, he says, "If Christ hasn't risen from the dead, then you and I are still in our sin." It is the resurrection of Christ that has Christ paid for the penalty on the cross, but it is the resurrection that removes that penalty for us, because it shows, by coming out of the grave, it shows that the Father accepted Jesus's death on your behalf and mine. It shows that the payment was complete, and the sting of death and the penalty of sin has been taken away from us. And if the penalty and the sin has been taken away and our sin has been canceled, that means the separation is no longer there. And we have that fellowship with him again. It was on Easter Sunday morning, and 5-year-old Billy was all getting ready to, in the children's pageant, to present a line that he had been working hard on. And he had one line, but it was an important line to say. And it is, "He is not here, for he has risen." And that was his line he was supposed to say, and he practiced it, and he practiced it, and he practiced it. He worked hard to get that line right. Well, it came Sunday morning, and he got up to say his line, And wouldn't you know, he got in front of the church and the congregation. He completely blanked out. He couldn't remember what he was supposed to say. He says, what was that line? What was I supposed to say? And the director was sitting on the front row, and she whispered to him, "He is not here. He has risen." And he was all confident. He said that gave him the confidence he needed. He stepped up in front of the mic, and he says, "He is not here. He's in prison." Jesus is not in prison. He came out of the grave, but there's still people that live that way. You know, that we live like we're in prison, but Jesus set us free. And we can rejoice. We have grace. We have freedom in him. We're no longer in prison. He's alive, right? Praise God. The sting of death has been gone. The penalty of sin has been removed. 3 days changed everything. From that sway of sin to the joy of redemption and life, it changed it all. The fact that he is alive. The penalty has been removed, and it secures our justification or our salvation. Paul goes on to say in the last verses here, he said, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and they're justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came through Christ. For God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood." That's what paid the sin, the sacrifice of atonement. The resurrection showed God accepted that. But he did this to demonstrate his justice, forbearance, that he left sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did this to demonstrate his justice at the present time so as to be just, and the one who justifies have faith in Jesus. As you're looking at those few verses there, what word stands out to you? What is the main word God is saying in those verses? Anybody? Just or justified, righteous, to be made just or right. That's the main theme of what Romans is about. And Paul said, this is how it happened. God did it through Jesus. He did it through the death and the resurrection, and that his righteousness is applied to our life by faith, not by effort, not by anything else, but by faith and what he's done for us. And it secures that. Then when we are made just in Christ, when we are made just before the Father, we are set free. And that condemnation is no longer there. It is the resurrection of Christ that secures that for us. 3 days changed everything. We all were held captive under the sway and power of sin, but the empty tomb, friends, changes it all. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Right now, we are living in the time when the Lord has redeemed us, but we're not yet fully redeemed. We're not home. And we've been saved from our sin, but we're living in a world in which is still under the sway of sin. It's still broken and it's still hurting. And we can look, throw up our hands in despair, but we don't need to, because we know that resurrection day is going to dawn someday. We know the trumpet's going to sound and the Lord's going to call us home, and everything then will be made right. And we live with that hope and that resurrection hope every day, even as we journey now, because we have a hope. We have a risen Savior. We have something to rejoice about. A lot can happen in 3 days, and he has risen. And we celebrate that this morning. So this morning, know that whatever burdens are on your heart, whatever you came in here with this morning, our risen Savior is here to take that from you. He is with us now and always. He rolls those stones away from our life. He removes those burdens. And his risen resurrection power is transforming us daily, giving us ability to walk newness of life, but with us always and never will leave. And we have that assurance. So praise God, the captivity of sin has been taken away. And the empty tomb has set us free and changed everything. And in that, we rejoice. 3 days changed it all. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are alive. And we thank you that the resurrection changed everything. That yes, we were held under the sway of sin. We were separated from you. We were headed to an eternity away from you in what the Bible calls hell. But we rejoice because you died for us and rose again. The tomb is empty. You came out in power. The Father accepted your sacrifice. And that we are alive through faith in you. That the penalty of sin has been removed. We have been restored to you. The brokenness and the hurt is gone. And we have received your grace and mercy. We thank you, Lord, how our life has changed for eternity because of you. And 3 days that changed all time. Lord, we pray that your resurrection power would live and work through us and encourage us this morning as we have hope and as we live in that resurrection hope daily, and that we, Lord, would point others to you, that people would see the reason for the hope that we have is because we have found a risen Savior. He's in the world today, and we know that he's living because he lives within us. And we've met you, and we've been changed by you, and we've been saved by your grace and restored back to you. Thank you for the power of the resurrection. Thank you, Jesus, that you are alive, and you live now and forever. The victory has been won. Death has been defeated. The sting has been taken away. And Satan, our enemy, was crushed. We give you glory and honor through Jesus, in whom we pray. Amen.